collective mind's ready.
Stand on your square, we on the turn, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's only or a new point, calling with your viewpoint. Prepared to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, words to the mothers. But the queens and the kings, we gon' get into some things. We been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking
like collective mind.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Yo, yo. Peace, peace, y'all. We are back. This is Brother Kev, Brother Kevin.
And I am your girl, Rigel.
What's up, family and friends? Mufasa Ra in the building.
All right, and we are Collective Minds Radio. We are back for another week. Hopefully, you know, to have some stimulating dialogue with the family, talk about some key issues. This is the last Sunday of the month, so we're going to do an open discussion for y'all. And also, we have a very special guest joining us as well, so stay tuned. But before we get started, as always, Rigel Starr, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
My week was great. Thanks for asking. I try to have a great week, every day. No announcements this week, but my week was great.
Okay, indeed. My brother Mufasa, how was your week? And you got any announcements for us?
Very busy, as usual. Very busy. When you're a man with a family that you got to support and take care of, and you got to get it by any means. Let me quit talking. It was a busy week, hectic week, but I'm here. I'm ready to chop it up with my fam, with my Collective Minds fam. And only announcement I was going to make was, I guess, giving my condolences to the families of the people who were shot at the shooting in Pennsylvania at the synagogue. My condolences go out to the families and the victims of that tragedy.
Indeed, indeed. And, we back, y'all. This is Collective Minds Radio. This is an open discussion. Please give us a call. Collective Minds is not a spectator sport. The number is 929-477-1697. And so last week, you know, whoever was listening last week, we did a show on was white supremacy dead, dying, or alive and well. And we kind of went over time because we was talking. The discussion got good. We had some very stimulating conversations. So what I want to do now is because we had a discussion as well, me and my brother Mufasa had a discussion where we kind of came to some type of agreement or closure.
We had a CMR emergency show.
Yeah, we had a CMR emergency broadcast where we had to put this out. Because I think this is an important conversation that, you know, that black people need to have, that we need to have in order to solve the problems that we have in our community. And for me, like I said, I believe most of our problems point to white supremacy. You know what I'm saying? So now, correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Mufasa. Did we come to an agreement that white supremacy is alive, but you don't feel like black people is doing the necessary things to end it? Or I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you could elaborate on that.
Well, I would say, I don't know if we can say we agree on the alive part. How about we say it's we agree that it's somewhat functioning, and in my opinion, it transformed into systematic racism, systematic oppression, rather, is what I look at more so as being more of a problem for our community than white supremacy.
Right. Now, we do know that white supremacy is a system. That's what we're talking about. White supremacy is a system. You see what I'm saying?
Right. But now, remember, like I was saying, with the fact of when you say white supremacy, you're looking at a group of white people who are, you know, feel they supreme being and keeping their feet on black people's necks. But what I summed it up at is if you got white people that need the help of other ethnicities to carry out the duties of oppression, I don't look at that as being white supremacy. Because at any time, if these groups of people that are helping white supremacy could wake up and get on track and get on code and go against this oppression, the oppressive system, then white supremacy will be weak. And that was the other question when I asked it, if you felt that white supremacy is still taking place, because I'm at the point of what are we doing about it then? If white supremacy does still exist, then what are we doing as an individual or as a group to combat it? What are you doing to end this white supremacy or systematic oppression of people?
Right. See, now you said a whole bunch in there. You know what I'm saying? So we got to backtrack and unpack what you said. You said that other, because we got to be clear with communication. This is what I'm talking about, fam. We got to ask questions. We got to be clear with the words and make sure that we communicate. Hold on, let me finish. We want to make sure when we're communicating that we don't assume that the words we're using, the other person understand the definition that we're using, right? So from what you just said, you said that other groups of people are going along with the systematic oppression to oppress who, would be my question. You know what I mean? And so you saying other groups of people besides white people are doing the oppression to who? And who are they lifting up and not, you know, who are the people that are not affected by the system?
What I'm saying is any oppression worldwide, okay, like, and I hate to put words in your mouth, when you say white supremacy.
Right.
You talking about just here in America, or you talking about globally? You talking about just here in America?
Global. No. This is global. What I'm saying is,
okay, you speaking global,
right? Anywhere there's a dynamic where there's black, and or let's say anywhere there's a dynamic where there's white and non-white people, the white people rule over the non-white people. Now that's either true or false.
So if they ruling, are they ruling by force, or are they ruling by mind play?
Both. It's mostly mind play, because when you control the mind, you have to use less force. You see what I'm saying? When you control the mind, you have to use less force.
So we know that if they use a mind play, white people, because you say when you say white supremacy is dead, I mean it's alive. You got to be talking about white people. So you saying that white people are in power over the collective people of the planet. And what I'm saying is, physically, no. Mentally, I agree with you that there is a mind games going on. But what I'm saying is, if non-white people will stop helping with this mind play and not being, you know, a victim of it, and start moving in a direction that benefits yourself and your people, white supremacy is weak and it is dead. Because physically, the white man as a whole is not physically strong enough to suppress all of the non-white people of the planet. All we have to do is wake up and do what we're supposed to do for ourselves. That's it. How we're supposed to move, then
my brother,
that is that.
Right. So you're just saying that it's a lie because at this point in time, we're not doing that. So you're saying if we do these things, yes, white supremacy is dead. But at this current point in time, October 2018, the collective of non-white people are not doing that, so therefore it's still alive.
It's alive.
So either that's
alive
true or not.
It's alive to the ones who want it to be alive to them, but to a select few who don't subscribe to that and who agree with that white supremacist system is a glass ceiling. We don't subscribe to that. We don't let that stop us from doing anything and making the move that we're supposed to do. Ain't no white man supreme over the select few who know that it's
right.
Not.
Right. Now, see,
if there's other people who want to believe that the white man is supreme over them, then white supremacy does exist to them, and it is ruling their nature. But to
right.
the select group of us who ain't worried about white supremacy, and we moving regardless of this so-called supreme being or wonder whatever you want to call it, this white supremacy, whatever this is,
right.
we ain't worried about that. We moving how we need to move. We ain't concerned about that.
Okay, got you. Now, okay, I understand. Now, what that is, that's just ego talking, because I can give you a list of things that the white supremacists can do right now, and either you'll fall in line or go to jail or they could do something else to you. There's not a lot of things that you can do to them that they can't do to you, but there's a lot of things that they can do to you based on the system of power.
But who are they?
So it doesn't matter that they
are
the white supremacists. They are
the white
supremacists.
Point them out. Who are they?
I mean, where do you want to start? We could talk about the police force. We could talk about police shooting you with impunity. We could talk about the people who write the books that educate your children. We can go down and line. We can talk
about
the media. We can talk about. Hold on. We can talk about the people who control the media and the images that make black people criminalized. Yeah, you know.
Let me do one at a time with the schooling.
Okay.
If I'm homeschooling my children, that takes that away.
If everybody's not doing that, we talk about.
What was the last?
We can't get into
the
individual thing. We got to talk about group. This is a group thing.
Well, I don't have to be in that group. I don't have to be in that group. I can be in whatever group I want to be in. I don't have to be in this particular group that you're talking about.
What particular group?
I don't have to be in the group that wants to play under the white supremacist rule. I don't have to be in that group.
Bro, you have
so what
no
was that last thing you said
law.
Outside of? I do have a choice.
Who makes the law?
Education. You said education. What was the other thing?
If you homeschool, you still have to deal with white supremacy. This is what I'm saying.
Okay, what's the other thing outside of the schooling? What was the other thing?
Do black people control the mainstream media? The narrative that's put out there that criminalizes black people through the media, makes us look like fools, so on and so forth.
I don't watch mainstream media.
You say who?
I don't watch mainstream media. I don't have to agree with what's going on in mainstream media if I know it's a bunch of BS.
Well,
why am I subscribing to that?
Everybody don't know, and people...
Well, that's,
now, when
well,
I
that's
media,
their fault. That's their
okay,
fault.
Okay, now. Okay, let me just make a break real quick because we do have our special guest coming on the line, family. This is Collective Minds. We are having an open discussion and we're just kind of finishing up this topic. We're not going to go too long on it, but we're just finishing up the topic. Is white supremacy dead, alive, or is it dying? Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. This is your host, Brother Kev, with my brother Mufasa and Rigel Starr. But give us a second, callers. We'll get to you in a second after we bring in our special guest here in a little bit. But now, Mufasa, now, real quick, because I don't want to spend too much time on this. Last week, I asked you two questions, right? The first one was, if white supremacy is dead, when did it die? And the second question, do you remember my second question? Because I kind of drew a blank.
Well, I can answer the first question right quick. I told you white supremacy died when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad stepped on the scene and gave us a plan to combat white
supremacy. Okay, stop right there, because we got to slow down. You said it ended when he gave us a plan. Now, if we did not follow the plan, is it safe to say that we still need a plan to fight white supremacy? Or no? Because he was making a plan for something to combat something.
Right. That's why I said that was before he came on the scene. And when he came on the scene, he did come on the scene to combat white supremacy. I never said it did not exist, but what I said is that it's dead. I didn't never say it didn't exist.
So it does exist.
He came on the scene and put a plan down for black people in North America to follow, step away from, to get from under the root of the foot of white supremacy. Now,
right. So it does
that's
exist.
Just because every black person in America chose not to follow it, it ain't that the white man is forcing them not to do it. It's just black people who ain't choosing and making the right decision to get on pole and follow that plan. And if they did do that, we would be in a much better state than we are in. But a select few of us are following the plan, and that's why we're not concerned with white supremacy. We're moving past that.
I get that. Like, you're saying that, but still, that's not the reality because, again,
it's my reality.
But you see,
my reality is when I go outside, Brother Kev, my reality is I have to work on black people in my neighborhood. I don't have a white man stopping.
But why do you have to work on those black people in your neighborhood? The black people in your neighborhood that are not on code, they have been – and that was my other question, because you were saying that the biggest problem – because I asked you, what is a bigger problem for black people as a group besides white supremacy? Now, hold on, because this is what you said. You said black people with a colonized mind. I say, cool. If their mind is colonized, why not focus on – the people who colonize their mind and the methods they use to colonize instead of focusing on the people. Like, you can do both, don't get me wrong, but for instance,
actually, I said in a harsher term than that. I didn't say that.
Right,
I said the biggest problem is nigger supremacy. That's what I said. Nigger supremacy is the bigger threat to me than white supremacy.
Niggas? So who created niggas? And that was perfect because that leads me to this analogy. If you have a problem with Frankenstein, why not get the scientists who created Frankenstein instead of the Frankenstein? Because if you take care of Frankenstein, guess what? The scientists go make another Frankenstein and another Frankenstein and another Frankenstein.
The cure
and that analogy,
to the Frankenstein.
So it doesn't make sense to focus on the Frankenstein.
The cure to that Frankenstein problem is already here. That plan is already in effect. That cure is already here. Now,
you got people that's still being Frankenstein,
and they choosing not to take the medicine. That's not because the white man is forcing them not to take it. They just not taking it. It's just like I say. With us on this phone now, with us three that's on here now. Why can we not Frankenstein?
We're talking about a group.
Why did we make a choice Why did we make a choice to change or do better? Why did we make a choice to not kill each other, not harm each other? Why do we make a choice to spend our money with our own? Why do we make a choice to counsel our own, send our kids to African Clinton schools, to homeschool our kids?
That still not go defeat white supremacy, though, bro. It still not go defeat it. All that is
you
all
mean for
good.
All. It won't defeat it for everybody because some still want to subscribe and be under it. So, I mean, I can't force no one to come from abundance if they don't want to. All I'm saying is the answer is there. The answer and the option is there. Now, if you don't want to take the pill and come from up under white supremacy, that's your choice. If you want to stay up under their rulership, feel free.
This is the thing. Now, like I say, we got our special guest.
I'm not under no white supremacy.
Okay, that's what you say. Cool. I'm with that. Now, so I'm going to move on from there. We already put it out there. You say you would take care of the Frankenstein instead of taking care of the scientists that made Frankenstein. Cool. You said white supremacy ended in 1935, I believe, when Elijah laid his plan. But we just don't neglect the Black Panther Party, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Sojourner Truth, all the way up to today. Farrakhan mentions white supremacy all the time. All these people who fought Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Professor James Small, all these people who are fighting against white supremacy, we just go say, they tripping, they not on code. There's, you know, if they choose to be up under, then that's on them. So, cool, we're going
to
leave it there.
Now, what they're trying to do is wake up the Frankensteins that you're talking about. That's
from
what they're trying to do.
What are they waking up from?
They're not out. You're telling me these
what
people
are
that
they
you
waking
named,
up from?
The people that you named, are they out in the streets with a military and a gun fighting white people? Yes or no?
That's not
yes
the
or
tactics.
No.
Nobody's
no, I'm just
even
asking.
Saying that that's
answer
even
question.
An option.
Them people you named, are they physically taking it to a white man with guns and weapons? Yes or no, real quick.
I mean, that's evident. No, they're not.
Okay,
because
so what are they doing then? What are they doing?
That wouldn't
they're
make
talking
sense.
To their people. They're trying to teach the Frankenstein. They're trying to wake up. If there's no white supremacy,
then what are they teaching? Like, what are they doing? What are they waking up people from? So we just said that people
are still Frankenstein and all
that. Have black people been
miseducated?
So
all that information.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Have we been miseducated?
That's why the people that you named.
That's why the people that you named are trying to give the information to their people. We've been educated.
Well, that's your
age.
It is what it is.
And you
once you learn
you went to a public school, bro. You don't think we've been miseducated by the white supremacist? Or you're exempt?
What I'm telling you is I went to public school, yes. But I'm also following
it
the
is what it
that,
is.
Show that has taught me and is still teaching me about the whole system of white supremacy, what to get up from under,
you don't
what to stay away.
Or you don't think it's alive.
I didn't say it didn't exist. I didn't say it never existed. I said the answer to the problem of white supremacy has been laid out. And everybody ain't taking the pill. So to the ones who don't want to take the pill and stay under that system, the
people
who don't want to take the pill and stay under that system, they are choosing.
It is what it is.
White supremacy is alive. And family, we got a special guest coming on.
It's alive. The ones who want it to be alive.
Okay. So we just going to leave that there. That's what it is. Now, what I want to bring up is examples here in the news that prove that white supremacy is alive and well. You got the guy going into the synagogue, killing folks, talking about white supremacy. You got the man down in Florida sending bombs to the quote-unquote liberal elite, big Trump supporter. You got the two black people that were killed in a Kroger in Kentucky by a suspected white supremacist. Some say he's already confirmed because he walked outside and said white people don't kill other whites. So you got all these. That's why I think this was so perfect, because the conversation we had last week, all these things came out in the news this week to prove that, yes, white supremacy is alive. There's people who still believe in the ideology. There's people who are in control within working in our government who believe in this ideology. So
that
for
may be
a
true.
Black person to say white supremacy doesn't exist, I mean,
that may be true.
Denial
at
the highest form. You dig what I'm saying?
That may be true. That may be true, but I can sit here and name about 20 people that was killed by their own kind as well.
So you saying what about black on black crime? Are you want to? You going there?
All
for
I'm
real?
All I'm stating is the fact to you is that all that you named, I can still name 20 of my people.
It is what it
killed,
is.
That was killed by niggas. So
wow.
What I'm telling you is.
Who
I have to come back.
Why
I have
you,
to come back. I have to combat that. I have to combat that. Now you focus
and
on fighting.
That's an example.
This is what
we're going to
do. Let's do this. Let's do this, brother. Kid. We're
going
to have to do this twofold.
People that
we're
going
to have to do this twofold. We're going to have to do this twofold. We're going to have to put our backs against each other, right? You're going to have to bang the white man. And while you banging that white man and fighting with him, I'm going to be banging with these niggas and trying to wake their minds up and de-Frankenstein them. So we do it together.
No, cause
back to back. Because we got enemies on both sides here. We getting hit from both directions.
It is
so
what it
you
is.
You take care of that Caucasian man, and I'll take care of these Frankenstein niggas. And then we might,
so
and then we'll see where they get us.
You going for the easier fight because those Frankenstein niggas don't have no power over groups. We're talking about groups, Brother Mufasa. We're not talking about individuals. You're going,
okay,
I choose
easier fight.
Because
then,
as
I choose,
group,
I choose the easier fight.
Niggas that you're talking about don't have any power over the white supremacy.
But
so
I'm
going to take
the bigger
fight.
Fight.
So right. I'm not afraid
I'm
to take
easy
the
easy fight.
Fight. I'll take
so what's
the
your
big
first
fight.
Step?
And
then, what's your first step? What's your first step? Tell me your
first
step. What you going to do?
Get my mind right and acknowledging there's a system. If you don't even acknowledge there's
that's your
a
first
system,
step.
You've already
that's your
lost.
First step, right? No,
you've
I just said what's
lost.
Your first step? What's your first
you,
step?
Acknowledging the system.
Get your mind right, right?
Acknowledging the system.
Okay, after you acknowledge the system,
exist.
Then what you going to do?
Then you formulate a code and a code of conduct that monitors your thoughts, speech, and action.
Right.
This is about, this system
now
is
that
about
code
the
you make. Now, wait a minute, the code that you make, who you going to give that code to? You going to give it to the white people, or you finna bring it back over here to the blacks and the niggas? Who you finna give that code
to? To the black people, of course. I mean, that's
not okay, well, then,
that,
well, then you ain't facing the Caucasian man then. You,
no,
you said you're going to take the harder fight. You said you're going to take the harder fight and fight the Caucasian man. So you getting this plan and getting your mind right. I still don't hear you saying you finna take it to this white man.
Look here. The code is.
Sound like you coming
black
back
people
on my
get
side.
On code,
now. Sound like you coming
black
back on my
get
side.
Get on code. That is taking it to the white man, but we have to acknowledge the system that is in place. We're not talking about individuals. We're talking about a system as a group. Now, I do want to bring in my guest here. We're going to have to leave that. Maybe she want to chime in. Maybe not, but this is an open discussion. Roger Starr, do you want to bring in our guest? Is she on the line?
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Fire.
Thanks.
Brother K. You bet. Brother K. By next week, you better been took out about 3-4 white supremacists. By next weekend.
No. What you're saying is. See, this is what happens.
Take them out.
When the press is on, you start coming up with silly little sayings and
now,
talking
that's not
and stuff
silly.
Like that.
That ain't
like,
silly.
We're
that's
being
what you
serious,
said.
Though, because that's
that
not going to do
being
nothing
silly.
To a system, though. That's not going to do anything
serious.
To a system. So what? Why, that would be stupid to do that. That's not going to do anything to
so,
the system.
So you finna come back to my plan then and deal with niggerism. That's what you talking about. You finna get your mind right. And then you're gonna get this plan together, and you're gonna teach it to black people. That don't sound like you going head on with these white supremacists.
But
sound, that's what I just
no.
said. I was gonna do. I said I'm gonna go out here. I'm trying to work with the mentally
and spiritually dead. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to work with the Frankenstein to get them to walk away from a colonized mind and being under the system of white supremacy. You telling me that that's the wrong route and you want to go head up with white supremacy. So I'm saying go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that. I'll take care of the niggerism. You take care of the white supremacy.
Sounds so great, everybody. Let me step in and get in between you two fellas. Let's bring in our special guest, Miss
Warrior.
Mila.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Peace. Thank you. We have.
Hey, thanks for having me on Collective Mind.
Yes.
Hey,
thank you. We thank
glad
you for
to
sharing
you.
Some of your.
It is
wishes.
What it is.
We have Missouri State Senator Jamila Nasheed in with us, y'all. Give us a round of applause if we got the clap sign. We appreciate you. Thank you. Now, before we get started, Jamila Nasheed, is there anything you want to, you know, let the people know about you for those that may have not heard about you, what it is, what you do, and, you know, just share some information that you think would be pertinent to this conversation.
Okay. Yeah, I, again, first and foremost, thank you for having me on the show. I've heard a lot of great
mm-hmm.
things about the show, and I'm going to start frequently.
Thank you.
So I grew up in Doris Webby Housing Projects with my grandmother and my three
mm-hmm.
siblings, all three brothers. We had to grow up there because my mother, at the tender age of 25, she fell into a deep depression due to the fact that my father had came home from Vietnam War and was shot and killed by whoever drive-by shooting in the Pearl Harbor. And so my mother killed herself 2 years after I was born. And so I had to grow up down there with my grandmother. It was rough living in poverty. It was rough just, you know, not having role models. The only role models that we had down there at the time was drug dealers and women waiting on the first of month check and mm-hmm. everything. And so I fell into bad conditions because I didn't believe in authority at all. I didn't believe in God. I was like, well, if there's a God, why don't I have a mother? Why don't I have a father?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why am I living in these conditions? And so I was an angry kid. I was a bitter kid. And at the tender age of 14, I joined a gang. It was called the Ill Control. Approximately 12 girls used to just wreak havoc in the city.
Oh, man. Say it ain't so.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I found myself a juvenile delinquent. I was in and out of the juvenile detention home to the extent where the state wanted to take me from my grandmother because they said that she couldn't control me. And
wow.
14, 15, joined the gang. 16, in and out of school. I used to go to Roosevelt High School. And school wasn't really attracted to me. And so I would eat lunch, and I would go out the side door. And I would go out the side door, and I would go to a bookstore called Progressive Emporium. And
wow.
it was in a Del Mar loop. And so I did that often to the extent where the St. Louis Public School pushed me out of the system. They said that I was too far behind in my credit. There was no way I was going to catch up, you know. And so I would hang out at the bookstore, not wanting to disappoint my grandmother. So I'd leave out of the house every morning as if I was going to school, but I would go hang out at the bookstore. And I stayed there. And I'm going to tell you, I did a 180 because that bookstore was more attractive to me than going to Roosevelt. I quit hanging out. I used to smoke weed, hang out all night long, wake up 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started reading books about, you know, Marcus Garvey,
wow.
Booker T. Washington, Sir John
yeah.
Truth, you know, all of these great leaders that came before me. And
shout
I was like, wow, people. If this can change my life, what can
yeah.
it do for so many other people on the dark side? And
that's
so
right.
at 19, I wound up opening up a bookstore. And I opened a bookstore. I owned and operated the bookstore for approximately 10 years. And doing so, you know, I changed a lot of lives. You know, a lot of brothers was inside the prisons. I would sell books to the prisons throughout the Midwest. And I did that for 10 years. And when I was owning and operating the bookstore, I became an activist. And I was only 25 years old then. I'm 46 now. And so I became an activist, setting down highways because of lack of minority inclusion, you know, and just fighting for African Americans. And I did it for a long time. I never really liked politicians or politics at the time. I was an activist because I felt like the only time they came around was when they wanted to vote. And I really didn't know how policy impacts the people's quality of life either, right?
Right.
The policies that's created by way of legislation. And so someone told me it's time for you to go on the inside. When I said, I don't want to be a politician. I want to be a politician maker, you know. And so I wind up doing it anyway. I put my name on the ballot in 2006. I won in 2006 with three people in the race, went and I served in the Senate, I mean the House of Representatives here in the state of Missouri for 6 years, and I decided I wanted to run for Senate. 6 years later, I ran for Senate, and I've been there for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Very interesting bio. Again, we thank you for sharing some of your evening. You know, I have a lot of questions and, you know, things that we can talk about. We got the midterm elections coming up, but I want to give opportunity for my guests if they had any questions. Oh, not my guests, my other host, Brother Mufasa or Roger Starr. Did y'all have any questions for Jamila, Nasheed?
All right, you got one. I can go.
Yeah, you go ahead, Mufasa.
Okay. First, I want to say, again, it's a pleasure to have you on, Jamila Nasheed. One thing that I was when you were talking about progressive, and we've had Baba J on our show once. I know Baba J's very well. Progressive Emporium is a great store and a great place for us to go to learn about ourselves. So I was impressed that you've been in those circles. But one thing I wanted to give you a shout out on is what you did in 2006 when you pioneered that A Plus program, the A Plus scholarship program. Actually, my daughter benefited from that. So I really wanted to congratulate you on that and say thank you for what you did when it comes to, you know, pioneering that legislation for our kids with that A Plus scholarship program. It's helped quite a few students, and I know it's continuing to help quite a few students.
Oh, absolutely. You know, education is very important to me, you know, because I feel like either you're going to be educated or you're going to be incarcerated. There's no in between, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our young kids that are coming out of the public school system to date, they're coming out of the schools graduating from the kindergarten to the 12th grade not knowing how to read on the third grade level. And that's called social promotion. And so I've been trying to do away with social promotions for a long time. I got really close last year with the bill, but it wind up being vetoed because there's a lot of other things in the bill. But social promotions is something that we have to end, and we have to begin to educate our children, because you have children right now, when they graduate, they go to college, they go straight into remedial classes. So they have to stay an additional 5 or 6 years before they can even graduate. And so they get flustered about it and they drop out, you know, of the system. And, you know, you have a lot of kids that's being pushed through the system in high school. They drop out because they're not learning anything, you know. And so education is very, very important, you know, if you want to change the trajectory of one's life, you know.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to touch on real quick was this is going back to the Mike Brown situation. If you remember having a call with Ray Higgins, you did a live call with Ray Higgins at his church around that time. About some of it. I was in the audience that day, and I remember you saying that you was looking up certain laws, and you were just basically flabbergasted with some of these laws you were saying that was protecting these police. You know, they can get away with some of these the way they abuse people and abuse their power. So I wanted to see if you could, can you elaborate some more on that with us here on Collective Minds, and also let us know, were you able to change any of those policies to, you know, to help with the police brutality here in the city of St. Louis?
Yeah, well, you know, after the Michael Brown incident, you know, deadly force, you know, how law enforcement officers use deadly force was just baffling to me. I mean, mm-hmm. you can be fleeing. And they can shoot you and get away with it, you know. Up until the Supreme Court ruled just a couple of years ago that you can't shoot a person while he's fleeing from you, they were doing it though. They were doing it, and the Supreme Court ruled that you cannot do that. There was a kid that was shot and killed, and he was jumping the fence. The police shot and killed him, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. So, but to answer your question, I try to push some legislation pertaining to deadly force, you know, where you cannot shoot a person if they're unarmed or if they are fleeing, right? Well, mm-hmm. we had the hearing. Pastor Hagen came up there, and he testified or whatnot. But the law enforcement community in the state of Missouri is very, very strong in terms of their political clout. Mm-hmm. That bill didn't come out of committee, okay? I've been trying to work on getting it out of committee, but the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the governor's mansion, and that is to them soft on crime. And it was appalling to me. And so I think that what we're going to have to be able to do is understand that the people that are in power right now in this state, they will do everything possible to protect law enforcement.
Right. Right.
And so, and then we also try to push a bill to put body cameras on all of the police officers, you know. And Mike Brown, mom, came up there. Leslie came and testified, and it was heartfelt, you know, her testimony. And again, the Republicans that control that committee didn't let it come out of committee.
Right. That's right. And if you're just joining us, family, we are here with Missouri State Senator Jamila Nasheed. Now, I wanted to ask a two-part question, and then we'll get to the callers. So callers, you know, just bear with us. I want to just ask two quick questions. Both of my questions pertain to, you know, to black people and the actual political climate that we're in right now. Because if we look back a few weeks ago, you know, Kanye met with Trump. It seems like you have Candace Owens supporting Trump, who's a big, you know, influencer in YouTube. She's a black woman, Candace Owens. And then this past week, Trump met with the Young Black Leadership Conference, okay? And he basically told them, you know, he doubled down on it. Blacks have nothing to lose. Come over to the Republican Party. You know, you've been with the Democrats for so long, and they've really done nothing. So I just wanted to ask your opinion. How do you feel about the black people who are turning over to the Republican Party?
You know, my question to them would be, you know, if you have nothing to lose in the Democratic Party, what do you have to gain in the Republican Party? Because every policy to date, everything they do it to keep their foot on poor people's neck. You know,
right.
When you look at healthcare, when you look at the healthcare industry, and you see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people throughout the country that cannot have the basic element of life, and that's the quality of life. Those are not Democrats that are putting in policies to hold down individuals when it comes to their health.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans.
Right.
I don't know what they're doing when it comes to criminal justice reform. What have you done thus far when it comes to criminal justice reform? I have a brother right now. I have a brother right now, and this is under the President Obama was in. I have a twin brother who was locked up. He went to jail at 17, okay? 17 years old for conspiracy to murder. Now, he didn't commit the murder, but because he was probably affiliated, he got caught in the justice system, and they found him guilty. Life without the possibility of parole. just last year, the Supreme Court ruled that you cannot sentence a juvenile for life without the possibility of parole. He's coming home next year, you know, after being locked up for 27 years. And so the policies that impact the quality of life for the people that I represent, I don't see Republicans representing that interest.
Indeed.
So you have black men right now. You have black men right now that they're coming home every single day, and they cannot find jobs. And it's because there's a lot of Republicans that are in control of a lot of these states that keep that felony charge on them where they can't get jobs. You have Republicans in this state right now. We're fighting them each and every day trying to take those felony charges off black men that can't pay child support. Democrats wouldn't do that. Black men cannot. They cannot vote. Their voting rights being restricted. They're going to jail with felony charges because they cannot afford to take care of their children. Many of them with felony charges where people won't even hire them. So we're trying to decriminalize it here in the state of Missouri. But guess what? The Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the governor's mansion. Okay? And they will not let that bill pass. You have young women out here. They're on TANF. A lot of them on TANF. Republicans control the House and the Senate. Said, listen, if you can't find a job in 90 days, we're going to cut you off your assistance. But they can assist the people that's out there. The farmers, they give them subsidies. They give corporations subsidies. But when it's time to be able to help the most vulnerable, they want to make it difficult and make it hard for them to be able to get subsidies.
Right. There you go. And I have a follow-up question, then we're going to get back to the call lines, family. We are having a conversation with Missouri State Senator Jamila Nasheed. The number is 929-477-1697. The answer you gave was excellent. That was on point. That was right and exact. Now, there's another group of black voters that, they wouldn't dare vote for a Republican, right? But they also feel like the Democratic Party has not really done anything to empower or assist black people. So there's a group of black people that I'm hearing online and talking to people that they just saying they're going to hold their vote. They're not even going to vote because they feel like, okay, you know, the Democrats come around when, you know, when it's time to get the vote, like you said earlier, how you were thinking earlier. Some people still feel that way. You know, they come to the church with us and praise. They come and dance with us and do other little things. But when it's time for the effect or the policy to get done, then there's nowhere to be found. When it's time for these, you know, police to get punished, the Democrats are nowhere to be found. So there are people that are saying they're not going to vote until we can get a candidate that can specifically promise something to the most vulnerable people in our society, which are black people. So we don't want to, you know, they feel like we don't want to use the language for minorities or for poor people or people of color. We need something specifically for black people, and we will not, people will not vote until there's a real black agenda. I think, you know, a lot of times black people are scared to ask for things because they feel like, okay, it might offend white people. But by the statistics in our community,
are
most vulnerable, I don't feel like there's, you know, we should not ask for something specifically for black people. So the question is, there's a contingency of people who are just not going to vote because they don't feel like, you know, they feel like their work can be better served by just doing stuff in the community without voting. So I just wanted to get your response to that.
Well, you know, people, simply because our people, many of our people that came before us, whose shoulders are we standing on to this day, people have fought and died for us to have the right to vote. If voting doesn't matter, why do they try so hard to keep us from voting? It's a powerful tool that we just haven't been able to use. And I'm telling you, at the end of the day, a person cannot do nothing to you if you don't let them.
Right.
Okay? They can only do what you allow for them to do to you. And I'm saying at the end of the day, the people saying that they don't want to vote, where is their agenda? Are they bringing their agenda to the people that they say they don't want to vote for? Now, if they are, if they have an agenda and they bringing their agenda to the people that they say that they don't want to vote for, and they not upholding that agenda or upholding their side of making sure that agenda is being met, then you say, the hell with it. Excuse my language. I'm not going to support it anymore.
No,
I'm not going to support the democracy anymore.
That's right.
But until then, we have a duty to vote simply
because we respect our forefathers
and we respect the people that came before us.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an agenda. And so what we have to ask ourselves is, where is our agenda for the people, the Democrats out here that are not, that they feel is not working in their interest? Have they put forth an agenda before those people?
Right. You know, hey, Jamila Nasheed, I got to ask you,
Thanks.
I don't know how much you heard before, you know, when you was waiting to come on, of me and Brother Kev going back about white supremacy, where I say it's dead.
I couldn't really stomach the conversation, but go ahead.
I know. Let me ask you, do you still believe in
white?
I got to ask you the hard question. Do you believe in white supremacy and that it's alive and well, or do you think it's dead, dying? What are your thoughts on white supremacy?
Oh, my God, that's like a amateur question. You know, white supremacy is here and alive and well, and you see it every single day.
Thank you.
I mean,
you're seeing it
at the Trump rallies.
Clap it up.
You said it. You can find this week with a different bomb that was placed in mailboxes. You said every day when you see a black man that's shot down, that's unarmed.
Thank you.
I mean, you're saying it, and I understand the brother said, well, what about the black people killing each other?
Right.
The police officers are supposed to protect and serve. They're not supposed to be the executors.
Thank you.
Now,
okay,
this is
the
true.
Judge and
this
the juror.
True.
You know, listen, our communities, it's a cancerous community. And the only chemotherapy that we're going to be able to infuse in our community is we have to begin to give people hope again. Our people are hopeless. So many of our people are hopeless because of the conditions that they live in each and every day.
Facts.
North St. Louis, you see kids walking up and down the streets every single day, and all they see is vacant and abandoned buildings.
That's right.
How can they have hope? We have to change the narrative and the dynamics in our community, and we have to do it once by understanding economics.
That's right.
And being able
to
understand that we have to do for self. And doing for self is not saying, I'm going to go out there and hustle and pick up some drugs and sell some dope to my own people. That ain't what
this is.
That ain't what doing for self is. Because basically what you're doing is you're playing into the hands of the white supremacists.
There you
because
go.
They
doing
want you to kill yourself.
There you go.
So doing
there
for self,
go.
Doing for self is saying white supremacy is dead and pushing past it. See, that's what I'm
it's
saying
not,
about
it's
when
not,
we when
it's
we,
not,
we,
it's
when
not,
we
it's
really
not,
do for self. When we really the like I told Brother Kev earlier, the plan has been laid of how to deal with white supremacy, and we are not 100%
deal
following.
With it. What is we if it's not there? What
so,
are we dealing with?
I,
you say deal with
Rigel.
It.
Is that Rigel?
Right?
Is
yes,
that right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Now, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I do want to get to the callers and get in my opportunity.
I didn't
to,
get.
Uh,
wait a minute. It was one. I didn't. Yeah. Why'd you cut me off before I could answer my last question?
Go
the
ahead,
question
brother.
Is, Jamila Nasheed, how do we deal with the white supremacists? How do we combat it with the white supremacists?
We have to educate
it?
Ourselves. We have to educate ourselves. You
Thank
know,
you.
My bookstore was called Sankofa. And it means to
Thank
seek
you.
Knowledge from the past so that you can build towards the future. And,
right.
you know, how you deal with it, you know, you educate yourself. You don't fall into
mm-hmm.
the trap. You know,
Thank
I
you.
Mean, even just like the criminal justice system, Right now, mm-hmm. the 13th Amendment says you can still be a slave. If anybody that's listening, go look up the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment, and I'm not quoting it verbatim, but it basically say that no servitude or slavery should exist in the United States except but for punishment of a crime.
For punishment, exactly. Yep.
It is what it is.
And so slavery still exists. And so when you see the mass incarceration of black people, you see plantation. You see slavery happening because now they're in there. And they're making clothes, they're making furniture for $8 an hour, but you wasn't willing to make $8 an hour out here on the street to stay free.
Yeah, they doing collection.
So when you say that's how you combat it, that's why when I look at you and I look at us on here, I don't look at us as being under the thumb of white supremacy because you say that's how we're doing it, and what you're doing is combating it. You are combating it.
Right.
You
are
You have to change
your way of thinking. You know, because like I told you, when I first got on here, I was the same kid that was out there reaping havoc today. I was that kid.
That's right.
But now, you know, I was a kid breaking laws, but now I'm a woman making laws.
There you go.
It wasn't but for me changing my way, the way I thought and the way
there
I
you go. Now, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, but wait, Mufasa, what you're saying, that doesn't eliminate the system, but the system isn't dead. We're all working to defeat it, but it's not dead. But I want to get to the callers because we can go back and forth all day on that one. Elijah Starr, let's get to the callers, please.
And let's take caller, area code 315. 767, call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment.
Hi, Collective Minds. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question for Senator Nasheed. Did you catch the Young Black Leadership Conference in the White House yesterday? And if you did, what were your thoughts on how they reacted to the president and his wonderful words?
Yeah, I didn't look at it.
What?
I didn't catch it.
Right, indeed. Right. Well,
I was busy working
in my community.
There you go. There you go. And I saw a little.
But these young black leaders are a part of our community.
It is what it is.
Young black leaders coming from all over the world, you know, and they went to go see our president, and he welcomed them and treated them with such respect and love, and it was just amazing.
Oh, did they take him a black agenda?
Exactly. No, they did not.
They just spoke. He spoke to them.
Not.
That's all.
Oh, they were just talking to each other.
It was a conference where our president spoke to them.
Okay.
They got to go to the White House.
Did those young people that came before him talk? Did they talk about the criminal justice system and how it's broken? Did they talk about health care and how many both black and white millions of people in America without health care?
No, it was our president speaking to them. It was our president speaking to them.
Oh, so they
couldn't talk
to him. It
wasn't them questioning him. Yeah,
there was no Q&A.
It was like a 30-minute. Yeah, it was a 30-minute speech.
Okay.
Did he tell them
anything that he was going to do to help their race?
He didn't make it about race. That was the most amazing part of it. He made it about just being an American in general. He didn't have to go on race bait and go down, well, I'm going to do this for you, your race. He spoke on making America better is making all people better.
I have a question. So if making America great again, is that because black folks don't believe that America has been always great to them.
You're going to throw the word again at me and just totally throw away the whole subject. So take out the word again, and we'll talk about making America great.
Okay, well, how is he going to make America great? Tell me that.
We're going to make America great by getting the families back together as a unit so that we can build solid foundations. And then we're going to, from having a strong families foundation, then we'll have good, great citizens who will participate in our government in the right way.
So if that's the case, wow. Then when you talk about bringing the families together, okay, why are they making it so hard for young kids after coming out of college? Okay, after coming out of college, why do they make it so difficult for kids who went to school, they want to raise a family, and then they have piles and piles of debt?
Any American that wants to go to college is going to come out with a ton of debt. I chose not to go to college, and I took my diploma, my high school diploma, and I make $8,800 a month. I didn't go and rack up a bunch of debt.
So that's smart of you.
Okay.
And so let me say this here, though. That's very smart of you. However, at the end of the day, they were told to go to school because the school would be the key that unlocked the doors of opportunity. They come home with piles and piles of debt, and they cannot find a job.
There you go.
And you know who's doing that? Our society is doing that, and they're being tricked into doing it, but they shouldn't do it. I'm teaching my daughter that there's other opportunities other than racking up a bunch of debt in college, and she's listening to me. She's having a hard time with it because all of her peers and everybody else in society says go to college, but I say if you don't have anything that you're going to college directly for, if there's nothing directly on the other side of the college, then don't put yourself through that.
Right, and we still have to deal. Now, this is the thing that I be saying.
My initial question was about Donald Trump talking to the young black leaders of America,
and he did a very genuine job doing it. Carlos, he did not see the speech, and we still have to be honest, because even when we talk about college graduates, there's black college graduates that are not finding jobs and are in debt, and they're being hired less than their white counterpart with bachelor degrees and so on and so forth. So we still have to keep that in mind. But thank you, Carla, for the call. We appreciate it.
Do you have numbers for that? Do you have statistics? And where are you getting your statistics
You can look those numbers up online.
I can't look up anything if I don't know where it's at. It doesn't exist.
Google up black college graduates with degrees earning less than white high school graduates. Look that up. Google that and then come back to me. That's a fact.
All right.
Roger Starr, do you want to take another call or you guys missed the question?
Okay, yeah, we can go to another caller.
Let's get another caller.
Okay, call in.
We are here with Missouri State Senator Jamila Nasheed. She has graced us with her presence, and she's been keeping it right and exact. You know what I mean? So let's get to the call line.
Okay, we're going to call area code 314-381. Call you on Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Well, hello, Jamila. This is Tianchi. How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
You know, I'm going to tell you, this young lady I've known for a long time, and she's a hard worker, excellent politician for her people.
Sir.
I went to Jeff City and testified on her behalf for body cameras. And after the Mike Brown incident, she worked very hard. I think I sent you a white paper with about 20 different suggestions. One, I think the police officers should carry their own liability insurance. That way, just like your car insurance, if there's many claims, then they're going to counsel you. But, another thing, too, I'm working with the National Society of Black Engineers, St. Louis chapter. We're trying to encourage parents to get their children involved in STEM fields. At NSBE's last two conventions, one in Lawrence, Kansas, the other in Pittsburgh, corporations that sponsor NSBE, and one in particular, Northrop Grumman, they hired 400 young black undergraduates in STEM fields two years in a row for a total of 800 right off the floor. So it's good things going on, and they are overshadowed by the bad things. But I also take my hat off to those communities like Jennings, Pine Lawn, Wellston, and one or two of them that dissolved their police department and went with something that was more calibrable to the community. You have African American police officers. They're also recruiting from the local high schools, trying to get young people involved in law enforcement. Look, you keep up the good work, and you always got me in your corner.
Thank you very
much.
Right.
Thank you, Carla. Appreciate that. Now
I'm surprised Brother Pianki didn't bring the pain today. Usually Brother Pianki come with the heat.
Right. He was on point today. We appreciate him. He's part of the Collective Minds alumni, so we appreciate his support. Ms. Nasheed, I wanted to touch on something that's kind of close to home, basically so we can educate our listeners and the people who may be voting in Missouri. We got these three amendments on the books. Just real quick, I wanted to get your opinion. You know, do you support, give people advice as far as these amendments go? The first is Amendment 1, and just real quick, it says Amendment 1, the ballot text is, shall the Missouri Constitution be amended to change process and criteria for redrawing state legislative districts during reapportionment? Change limits on campaign contributions that candidates for legislation can accept from individuals or entities. Establish a limit on gifts that state legislators and their employees can accept from paid lobbyists. And it goes on to a few other things, but you can look this up, family. This is Amendment 1. Just real quick, Jamila Nasheed, how do you see Amendment 1, and, you know, what's your stance?
I'm going to vote for Amendment 1 because right now, you know, the climate that we're in with all of this dark money and these super PACs and monies and politics, I mean, millions and millions of dollars are being spent on politicians and their campaigns. And so a lot of the people feel like their voice is not being heard. You know, it's the big money, dark money guys that, you know, who's calling the shots. They feel that way.
Right.
I think to bring back transparency and give people that sense that their voice is still heard by limiting the gifts and things of that sort and cutting down on how much money they can receive, I think that, you know, people will begin to get back to understanding that they do have the power and the voice.
Got you. So
and
you say
not,
yes,
you know,
it is what it is.
Got you. Is that a yes or no on Amendment 1?
Oh, yeah. I support it. Yes.
You support it. Okay, got you. Okay, and then speaking of the PACs, too, just to let the callers know that the ads that they're running, I just found out that there's a Republican or conservative North Carolina PAC that are running these, like, fear-mongering ads going against Claire McCaskill. So I just wanted the voters to be aware that a lot of these ads that you hear on the radio where they talking about black people being lynched and black people catching hell and all these other things, these are ads that are set up by these PACs, political action committees, and they're spending this money to, you know, put fear in the black community and so on and so forth. So it's important that we, you know, as a community, do our research and educate ourselves in the political process, you know, so we can have more power moving forward. Now, the other two amendments that are on the ballot, Amendment 2 and Amendment 3, they have to deal with medical marijuana and taxes for medical marijuana. How do you stand on those particular issues, those amendments?
Yeah, Amendment 2. Yeah, I support
Amendment
I support
two, right.
Municipal. I support medical marijuana. And I also support decriminalizing marijuana because you have a lot of young people that are incarcerated due to marijuana, you know, selling marijuana and whatnot. And now you can actually go into Colorado and other states and buy it.
Yeah.
So the same thing they're locked up for, people are now making profits off of it. And so, I believe that it needs to go to the next step in terms of decriminalizing it.
That's right.
But, yeah, agreed. That's a start. Municipal marijuana is a start because a lot of people are traumatized. And, you know, if they could get some medicine that can ease their pain and deal with their trauma that they're dealing with every day.
Indeed, family. So there you go. Those first three amendments that are on the ballot coming up this midterm election, I believe it's November 4th, I believe. So there you go.
No, it's November the 5th.
November 5th, I'm sorry. Thank you. Yep, November the 5th.
It's on a Tuesday.
Okay, on a Tuesday, November 5th, that's right. So now,
it's
family.
Everybody needs to go out to the polls. I mean, I'm telling you, people need to go out to the polls and let their voices be heard. You know, where there's no voice, you know, where there's no vote, there's no voice.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right, and then there's an important seat on the ballot too as well, Senate seat, because the Democrats are trying to get control of the Senate.
I meant to say November 6th.
November 6th, okay,
yeah.
Right. And there's a big race in Missouri between Claire McCaskill and Josh Hawley. So I want to know, you know, if the people don't know, who are you supporting in that Senate seat race?
Oh, I'm supporting Claire McCaskill wholeheartedly. Claire, you know, a lot of people don't like the fact that she's not, you know, visible as much as she should. But the last thing we need is a guy like Josh Hawley, you know, carrying the water for Donald Trump backward policies, okay? Claire has stood up for the veterans, and not just white, but black and white veterans. She's fighting to protect the Pell Grant for young kids that want to go to college. And she's also fighting to protect and preserve, you know, our health care. You know, so yeah, I'm with her 150%. And we are just two seats as Democrats away from taking the Senate. Okay,
right.
Her race is very, very important, and we need two other seats that hopefully we can get, and the Democrats will have control of the Senate on the federal level. And that's a game changer within itself.
Indeed, indeed.
Right.
Yes, so
and hopefully people will get out there and make it happen, make their voice heard, and don't be afraid of white supremacy. Get out there and vote.
Right. No, nobody said to be afraid. Nobody said that. Now, I wanted to ask you this, Jamila Nasheed, because as we wrap up, it looks like we got about 19 minutes left for the program, family. We've been joined by Jamila Nasheed, Missouri State Senator. Now, I wanted to ask you this, because I made this prediction on the show, and I said that, unfortunately, Trump is back in office in 2020. I hate to say it, but I just feel like with everything that's going on, and he's talking about Kanye has raised his numbers in the black community and people are following Kanye's lead as far as black people, and I just feel like they're going to spin it some type of way where this man is going to get back in. He's going to be reelected in 2020. What do you say about that? Do you think I'm crazy? Do you think he got a chance? Do you think it's no chance? Or how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I believe that if we mobilize and galvanize the people to really stand up and get out to vote, we can take it. We can take it.
Indeed. Indeed. Thank you. Well, that gives some hope. I just don't I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I think they're going to spin it. And I think the media plays a huge role in elections when they come out with these polls. And I think they're going to spin it to where they're going to get him elected like they did this time when everybody thought, you know, it was impossible for him to be president. Moving right along, did you have a question right to start, Brother Mufasa?
It is what it is.
Down to the last last 17 minutes of the show. You want to get something in?
I got my final one, because I don't know if Roger had nothing or not, but
okay.
Again, I want to make sure that, excuse me, y'all. Again, I want to, like I say, just thank Jamila Nasheed, because like Pianki said, you know, I see what you do for the community, and I watch you from afar. I've been in a couple of circles that you've been in. I see that you are serious and committed to liberating and building up our community. So, again, I want to thank you again, and thank you for taking the time to come on and speak with us.
It's a pleasure. It's most definitely a pleasure being on the show. You can always just reach out to me if you ever want me to come back on. That's no problem. I really enjoyed the dialogue and the conversation. And if anyone wants to follow me and follow my legislation, they can go to www.senate.mo.gov,
mm-hmm.
or they can go to www.nasheed.mo.gov/nasheed and look at all of the policies that I passed, all the legislation that I passed and co-sponsored.
I recently saw a video of you. You was on the Metro bus and you was talking to some
you know, just talking to the community about issues. What brought that on? What made you do that? And is that something that you do often?
Well, this is my second year doing it. Sometimes I just want to go feel the pulse of the people. You know, I hadn't been on the first year I did. I hadn't been on a bus in over 20 some years. And I said, well, how about we just do a bus tour around the city? Just go talk to the common people, see what they're feeling, see what their thoughts are.
That's right. Yeah,
you know, and
right.
everything. And so we did it. We got on the Metrolink, then we got on the bus, and we talked to the people, we listened to them, and a lot of people are hurting right now.
Right. That's right.
And
that's right.
You know, we have to be the change we want to see, and we have to be able to help those that cannot help themselves.
Thanks. That's
mm-hmm.
right. That's right.
This
indeed.
Is true.
So,
I don't know if you can.
We have to truly be a voice for the voiceless.
That's
Are you
right.
familiar with an organization called Better St. Louis Together?
Uh-huh.
Better Together St. Louis, hopefully.
Better,
I'm not
Better Together,
that
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know they had a couple of meetings in the past, a couple of years ago. They did one in U City. I think they did one in Bridgeton. And they had a meeting in O'Fallon Park. Now, I attended those meetings. And one thing I noticed was when I went to the meetings in some of the county areas, the police presence, the police force showed up. I was thrown back that when I went to the one in O'Fallon Park, there was no police officer that came out to meet with us. And I wanted to know, how do you feel about that? Because I think you were there that day. How do you feel about, you know, them not showing up? And if you can, you know, tell us why no one from St. Louis City showed up to speak with the community. Community that showed that we still got so much to build, you know, so many bridges to build in St. Louis City. I was really troubled by that.
Well, I can't tell you why they didn't show up. I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Indeed. Now, Kevin, Jamila Nasheed. I want to echo what my brother Mufasa was saying. We very much appreciate you coming on the show. You know, we want to do whatever we can to support you. But I also want to give you the opportunity to let the people know, let the listeners know, if you have anything going on, how we can support, if you want to give out your social media, phone number, any of that. I know you just gave out your website, but if there's anything that you have going on that you want to let us know about or anything coming up for the future, I want to give you the floor to let us know about that.
Yeah, so we do have social media outlets where individuals can follow me and interact with me on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram. That's Jamila Nasheed. All you have to do is type my name, and it's going to come up. Not too many Jamila Nasheeds around here. And
right.
I also let, you know, the listening audience know that I have decided to come back home and run for president of the Board of Aldermen against Louis Reed. All politics is local. All politics is local.
That's
and again,
right.
when we have a lot of growth happening in the St. Louis area. We have a lot
right.
of great things happening in the St. Louis area. But when you look up north of Del Mar, all you see is decay, death,
that's
and
right.
destruction. Then at some
that's
point,
right.
we can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. The Board
that's
of Aldermen
right.
President
Thanks.
Is a very powerful position. And I'll
yes.
tell you why it's powerful. It holds two branches of government, the legislative branch as well as the executive branch. The executive branch controls the dollars here in the St. Louis area, where
that's
and where
right.
the dollars are being spent, okay? And the legislative branch, they make the policies. And so when you have the president of the Board of Aldermen being able to hold both branches of government and North St. Louis look like a war zone, you have to begin to ask yourself, isn't it time for a change?
That's right. That's right.
It is
yeah,
what
indeed.
It is.
Man.
And so I'll be running right? against Louis Reed March the 5th, 2019.
You
got, okay,
you
got my vote.
Indeed. Yeah, that is exciting.
You got
family.
My vote.
You heard that? She is running.
Yeah, make
for,
anybody you know living in the city.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Anybody you know living in the city of St. Louis, let them know that, you know, I'm about to run for president of the Board of Aldermen. I'm coming back home because, again, all politics is local. And we're going to be interacting as a result of me becoming president. So you can just start calling me Madam President now.
Madam President. That's right. I like Madam to hear president. That. Yep. Now, you heard that, family. So she is running for the president of the Board of Aldermen. Like she said, it is a powerful position.
It is what it is.
Against Mr. Lewis Reed. So, yeah, that's exciting. We appreciate you dropping that for all the callers and listeners.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, if you are in the city of St. Louis,
please
come
back.
That coming this March. And Jamila Nasheed, once again, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It is what it is.
Look forward to having you back once you start your campaign and get everything rolling. You know, we look forward to having you back on the show as well. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
okay,
and
thank
and
you
I'm,
all
I'm
for
here.
Having me.
Let me
thank
jump in
all
really
of the listening order.
Miss Nasheed, I'll. I know. I don't have any questions, but I really enjoyed your conversation. And I really appreciate you joining us, and we would love to have you back again.
Right, thanks for having me. And thanks all of the listeners that was listening today. Stay tuned and keep listening.
Yes. That's right.
Stay tuned.
Peace
keep
and
listening.
Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Yes, thank
yeah.
you. All right, there you go, family. That was Missouri State Senator Jamila Nasheed, who announced that she will be running for the president of the Board of Aldermen for the city of St. Louis. Very powerful position. You can kind of argue if the mayor or the president of the Board of Aldermen has more power, but they are both powerful positions. So be looking out for that sister. If you like what you heard, you know, please support and be on the lookout for that, I guess, this coming spring. And, yeah, that was a great
Didn't Lewis Reed run for mayor? Didn't he run? He ran for mayor, right? I know he didn't win, but
didn't
he run?
He did run for mayor. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so,
he ran last year, remember? Yeah, he ran
right,
he ran last year. And then Lyda Crusoe ended up winning. But yeah, I thought that was very good information. You know, good stimulating conversation. As always, we like to have that collective mind. The midterms is coming up November 6th, that Tuesday. It's the 5th
mm-hmm.
or the 6th, but it's coming up.
Just the
6th. Family, so those, yeah, it's the 6th, okay. So, you know, those are the people that are registered. Make sure you educate yourself. You know, get out there and vote. Make sure you, hold your whoever you voting for. That's the thing with black people, because we have to get political and we have to learn how to pull our resources together and come with an agenda. You see what I'm saying? We have to be able to do these things, which Dr. Claude Anderson talks about a lot in Powernomics. Like, economics is going to be a big part of defeating the system of white supremacy, right? Because the system of white supremacy doesn't like us because we black, but we're victimized because we don't have the economics to protect ourselves. You see what I'm saying? Not saying that the money is everything, but if you have some money and a base and some economics and resources, you're able to put up a better and stronger fight against white supremacy and the system, in my opinion. So, you know, black people, we have to get more politically inclined, get more educated, figure out what's going on, pay attention to the language they use. You know, it's a lot of different things when it comes to writing these laws and policies, and we just have to be up on it and use our resources together to, support these candidates and come with our own agenda, and don't be afraid to say, yes, we need something specifically for black people, because based on the numbers, our communities are the most vulnerable. So, you know, we're trying to lift ourselves and provide a better quality of life. And we have to be able to stand on that and bring that to these politicians, whether black or white. You know, what are you going to do specifically for black people? So, you know, just as my little spiel as far as politics go, just make sure you educate yourself and, you know, get out there and support and do what you do. You know, even if you don't vote, make sure you're doing something, which it all starts at home with yourself. If you're getting your mind right, get knowledge of self and developing the code and understand what's going on, lifting the veil, taking the glasses off, and really paying attention to what's going on, you will start to come up with solutions. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, y'all got any final words? We down to the last 5 minutes. I want to thank our guest again, Missouri State Senator Jamila Nasheed. Powerful. She has a powerful story. And she was telling us about herself. I'm like, that's either a book or a movie or both. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, shout out to that sister for that. And any final words, y'all? We down the last 5 minutes. That's good.
Well, final words for me. Join your nation. Join the Nation of Islam. I'm out.
So we got to join the nation to be to not be abused. That doesn't seem fair. But okay. Yeah, Ty, you got any? I mean, I'm sorry, Roger Starr. Do you have any final words to us?
Well, I just want to say this was a pretty good show. I'm glad we did have her on.
Yes.
Just thank everybody
this
for coming on. We have
this is
a good show. We have another great show coming up next week.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Next Sunday, so you want to tune in?
Do we want to let the cat out the bag? We want to let it out. Or?
You can let them out.
We can let it out. All right, next week, family, we have a powerful young brother. We have RZA Islam from the Nation of Islam. Also, we'll be starting Hidden Colors 5 coming up sometime next year.
Nice.
You know, this is a dynamic brother. He speaks. He has a media presence. He's with the Paradigm Shifters. You know, he drops a lot of knowledge, a lot of information. So please stay tuned. If you have kids, have your kids tune in and listen. This is a dynamic, like I say, young brother that is capturing the mind of the youth and, you know, letting everybody know that not all of our youth are out here on the ignorant stuff. You know, it's a lot of people moving and building and doing things. And we're going to chop it up and talk to our brother RZA Islam coming up. So stay tuned next week, y'all.
From the mighty. Nation of Islam.
You know why? That's right.
Y'all want to learn, if y'all want to hear and learn how to combat white supremacy and cut the head off of white supremacy, join us next week. If you don't, join us, you can see how not to be afraid of the boogeyman.
Right, but who said anybody was afraid, though? But we going to leave it there. That's what you said.
When you throw a rock, the dog get hit.
Right,
it's the loudest noise.
Right, that's right. All right, cue the music, y'all. We'll be talking a whole another hour and a half. Let's cue the music.
Thank you, everybody, all our guests. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We everywhere. Look in the sky.
Yeah.
We there.
Yeah, we there.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the turn, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's owning or a new point, calling with your viewpoint. Compared to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, words to the mothers. But the queens and the kings, we gon' get into some things. We been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Collective Mind.
What they thought.